Okay, let's have a prayer.
Yeah. Father, we worship you and we thank you for this opportunity to be in the Master Life group to learn how to be your disciples. We ask the Spirit of Truth to be with us today so we can understand the principles of being Christ's disciples and we can put into practice. Be with us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, very good. See you all. I just received this from Alight. I think it's just in the mail. It's from our association, you know, Baptist Association. Chinese Baptist Church, top giving church. 210 Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So again, last year we are the top giving church in our association among around 100 churches. I think it's like 7 years in a row. This church is the top giving church. So give glory to God. Wonderful. And please remember the short-term mission team in your prayers. We have 7 members on the trip. From the English congregation, we have Paul, we have Cindy and Acacia. There's 3 of them. And we have another 3 from the Chinese congregation. We have Huang Sanqiao, Joseph Huang, and Pan Jingying. That's Cindy's mom. And Pan Jingqiu, Lisa, our treasurer. So 6 of them. Remember them. They are now in McNary, Arizona, with the Indian people now. So for the next 6 days, please remember them in your prayers. Pray for them daily. All right, let's review something of Master Life Group. What? It's very good to see Rian is here because I have your name here. Master Life Reminder, okay. Like the drill sergeant, I'd like to remind you, this is a discipleship training. You are actually in a training process, and this is like month 3 and the book 2 of the discipleship training. Be faithful in attending each session. Okay. If you are unable to attend, make sure you let me know why you are unable to attend, or let Yishen know, so we can understand what's your condition, what's your situation in this discipleship training. You do know you cannot, if you are in town, you have to attend. That's the covenant you made with God and with your discipleship group. Okay, in order for you to have a successful discipleship experience, it's crucial for you to complete all exercises, all assignments, and learn the materials before, okay, not after, before you attend each session. So make sure you do that. I know people do it differently. Some people just look it over casually. Some people take time to study each lesson. Okay. And if your attitude is different, you get different result. It's my prayer that you take it seriously. You study lesson seriously. And do your exercise and assignment. Complete all of them. Okay. In that way, you will be really go through the discipleship training. Otherwise, you just attend some church activity. Six months later, you have no faintest idea what discipleship is. Okay. All right. Support and be accountable to your group members. So, group members are your prayer partners too. You pray for them, you pray with each other, and be accountable. You check each other's progress. Okay, you are actually doing a service to God by check your group members' progress, because you are helping each other to be the disciple of Christ. Okay, that's where I have the names. Okay, based on attendance record, the following names have been removed from Master Life training: Dan Wang and Gary An. But I'm very happy to see Ray An here again. So welcome back to the group. Okay. We follow up. We just follow our covenant and be faithful in attending the class. If you decide not to attend class, you drop out and let me know. We do take attendance each week. And we based our membership, this class membership, on your attendance and on your participation. So make sure you're attending this discipleship wholeheartedly. Okay, we're in book two, Disciples' Personality. Let me go through the 6 weeks lesson. We are going to learn. We have learned week one and week two. Week one, do God's will. That means put your own will in alliance with God's will, so you will do His will. Week two, we are dealing with our mind. Renew your mind. There's a battle going on in our mind. And how to renew our mind, that's what we learned in the second week. This coming week, week three, the topic is master your emotions. Okay, we are sad, mad, or glad. We do have emotions. How to master our own emotions. Week four, present your body. Week five, be filled with the Spirit. And week six, live victoriously. That's book two. Okay. Let me go through the disciples' personality. Again, this time, it's a bit more complicated than the disciples' cross. So there's more details you need to commit into your memory. And you will be required to be able to explain the personality, disciples' personality, each part of it, you should be able to explain it. Okay, it starts with a circle with two openings, up and down. This circle means a unit. Okay? It's not divided, it's a whole unit. And it is God Himself who created you as a unit. And He gives you a body, the earthly part. Your body comes from the earth, from the dirt. And He equipped this body with five senses so it can keep communication with the outside world. And these five senses are sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. Sight is what you see. You see people. You see the world around you. You watch TV, you see what's on your computer. That's an input device God put in your body. So you receive a lot of information and images through your sight. You hear. You hear God's word. You hear people talking. You hear good words. You hear lies. You hear bad words. And your ear, your hearing is also an input. Input devices God put in your body. You receive a lot of information from hearing. You smell. Okay? I think someone said smell is the most long-lasting memory a person has. You smell something, you keep that in your mind for a long time. But the smell is something God help us to remember. Sometimes a good smell brings back very good memory. Taste, we all like to eat. Taste good food, delicious food, that's a gift from God. And the touch, we keep in touch with people. I think Christians hugs a lot, and that's good. Because God give us the sense of touch, keep in touch with people, literally. Not just body, God also give us something we call soul. And our master book divides soul in three major sections, major parts. One is your mind, and that's what we learned last week. Renew your mind. Our mind is a receiver. We receive different information, and we process the information we received. We have some worldly mind. Worldly information. Before you became a Christian, you have your worldly mind, your own value system, your world view. After you become a Christian, you have learned God's word, and there's a battle going on in your mind. Who's in control of your mind? Our goal is to let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to be in control of our mind. Week one, we learn about the will. do God's will. Your will, do God's will. God and Satan is in competition for you as a person, and your will makes the decision. You are in control. You can say to God, God, I will follow you, I will obey you. Or you can shut off God and say to your body, say to Satan, I will listen to you. Your will is in the center place, and he is in control. Next week, we're going to learn our emotions, why different react to the same thing, same situation with different emotions. We read a lot in the Bible, when Jesus healed someone, the Pharisees get really mad. And Jesus was happy and other people's happy. Why the same situation result in different reaction, different emotions? We will learn that we react to different situations with our own value system. Your value system causes you to be happy, to be mad, or to be sad. And there is a Saturn in our diagram on the bottom part. As an opposing force to God, Saturn tried to win you over too. He tried to get you through your five senses. And he tried to win your mind. The battle of the mind, he tried to be in control of your mind. So as Christians, we are in a constant battle. This represents you as a channel. You are capable of upwardly communicating with God or downwardly communicating with Satan. You have a channel that opens on two ends. Okay? That is the center part. Your will to decide which openings are you going to use. Okay. If you communicate with God, you communicate to Him with your spirit. That's the up opening. You open to God and communicate to Him with communicate to Him with your spirit. Also, you do worldly things. The Bible calls it flesh or sinful nature. And the Bible says when the spirit died, our way to God is closed. And this is how we were born. When we were baby, when we first came to the world, we are like this. This is why the Bible calls it the natural person. Anyone who born to this world, naturally, his spirit to God is closed. And his flesh to the body, to Satan is open. So the person, I hope you can see the small print. The person without the spirit does not accept the things that come from the spirit of God, but consider them foolishness. That's why you evangelize some people. You tell them the gospel. People tend to be offended. They don't want to hear about it because their spirit is closed. And they consider this kind of saying foolish. And they cannot understand them because they are considered, they are discerned only through the spirit. Okay, that's the natural person. And if you hear the gospel, your spirit is regenerated. You believe in God. Your opening to God is reopened. And that now you are no longer a natural person. You are a worldly Christian. And there are a lot of worldly Christians. That's the person who is open to God and open to Satan at the same time. His or her mind is full of the worldly things and also the Bible, the godly things. And he or she is constantly in battle. This kind of Christian is what the Bible calls them spiritual infants. Let me read this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 through 3. Yeah. I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food. Okay, just milk. For you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. And this is the worldly Christian, spiritual infants. No matter how long they've been a Christian, they are spiritual infants. And if we do what the Bible says, as crucifying your flesh with Christ Himself, if we do this spiritual act, we say to God, God, I'm tired of being a worldly Christian. I'm tired of being a spiritual infant. I'm making a commitment, making a covenant with you. I'm willing to let my flesh part die. So help me, God. I'm willing to crucify my flesh, and my spirit will be open to you. I will listen to you and obey you. In that spiritual action, if you do that sincerely, God will help you. In that time, you crucify your flesh, and your channel to Satan is closed. And the Bible calls this kind of people spiritual Christian. No longer himself, but crucified with Christ. This is our goal, is to be a spiritual Christian, that we will crucify our flesh. Remember, it's like taking up your cross. That's a daily exercise. Okay? Each day, by the grace of God and the power of God, we crucify our flesh and follow Christ, and we'll be a spiritual Christian, disciple of Christ. All right, this is the presentation of the disciples' personality. We have memorized some verses already. You have memorized the central part under the veil. Philippians 2:13. Yeah. And also memorized mind, Romans 12:1-2. Okay. So you will memorize seven verses in this style. Okay, so inside you there's the cross, crucified with Christ. This is the final presentation. So you will remember all the details and be able to present this illustration to other people at the end of book two. All right, let's do some reviewing of what we learned last week. We learned about there's a battle going on in your mind, battle of the mind. Let me ask you some questions now. Number one question, I'm asking you as a, this is a personal question, I'm not asking you as a group, but as you, individual, do you feel your mind is a battleground? If so, what forces are in battle for your mind? Anyone like to share a little bit? Those who say yes, help me out. Frank.
Yeah. Well, it's again, it's between the worldly things and holy things. Yeah. It's very difficult. Although sometimes you do the same act, in terms of how you prepare your heart to do such things,
yes,
could be struggling. Yeah. Between you want to glorify the God, and so therefore, in many the things related to your career and to your profession. Right? But on the other hand, it's very difficult to handle it in the right way to ensure we are glorifying God, not glorifying ourselves. Yeah. But it's difficult.
Yeah. Thank you, Frank. Yeah. It's a big challenge for us to live in this world and follow Christ every day. And it's only by His grace that we come out victoriously. Pastor Rob, you want to share something?
I think of it as, the Bible talks about three opposing forces, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That we have our own sort of still fleshiness to us, even when we're converted. Particularly as you've been converted later on in life, you have a whole life of mental sort of thoughts and just sort of play. Sort of reactions, so when you're converted, you now have the spirit, you're born again, but you're not completely like Jesus, right? And then you also have the world, which is continually becoming more worldly, at least it seems that way to me, where you have worldviews that are contrary to the truth of Christianity, what God has spoken about, what reality actually is. So you get this through TV, you get it through movies, songs, whatever the case may be, that'll easily lead you in a contrary direction. And then thirdly, what we sometimes forget is that we live this world, as Paul talks in the present evil age, that the devil roars around like a roaring lion. So there is a very real reality of spiritual darkness and attacks. And oftentimes they'll come in the subtle ways, like getting you to watch a TV show, or getting some ways that you're not even aware of. So, but it's always good to remember, greater is He who is in you, right, than He who is in the world. And Christ has promised to be.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. I need to hear a Bible verses passage. Will someone get to the Bible, Galatians 5:16-17, and read it to the class? Anyone? Yeah, Hui Ying.
So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want.
Okay, in that passage it says two forces are in conflict with each other. Could you tell the class which two forces? Diana?
The sinful nature.
The sinful nature, that's the
versus the Spirit.
Versus the Spirit. So it's the sinful nature and the Spirit in conflict in our mind to win us over. It's the battle of the mind, two different forces that's in battle in our mind. As a Christian, second question. As a Christian, do you have a choice about who or what controls your mind? Is it? You do have a choice? Do you have a choice? Okay. Someone like to elaborate on that? How do you have a choice? Go on.
I think if a Christian is a worldly Christian, when I was a worldly Christian, I don't have the choice to choose which one controls my mind. Sometimes this force controls, sometimes the other controls. But when I experienced my crucifixion with Christ, and I crucified with Christ, and now I have only one choice, that is following God. I think it's very difficult actually for me to follow the sinful nature and cannot follow self. I think to say to have a choice, I think it's really having a choice that I have been given the possibility that I choose to follow God. Or otherwise, it's still manageable. For the first question, I always want to say if it's a battleground, it's a battle, but it's a battle like the battle into Israel. It's like the Israel people battle into Canaan, which is a winning battle. So it's not a battling battle, it's just go in and take the land. And, the land for God. So I think it's kind of the battle isn't, vibrant forces that arguing each other or battling each other, but like sometimes the devils still have some kind of dissensions or some kind of tricks. Just like the Israel people, it's also tricked by the local people, but eventually it's a winning battle, and that was the one.
Okay. So there's a choice that we have, and eventually the battle is a winning battle. Anyone else like to share on this point? Do you have a choice? Jen, please.
Yeah, I think the one piece that resonates with me is about our will. And I think if you look at the model, that really struck me, because the will is right in the middle, and the will to do either is what's in battle to some degree. But once you come to Christ, you are given the Spirit. Therefore, now you have a choice to follow Him. I think you can still choose to follow the world or follow the flesh.
Yeah.
But hopefully the Spirit will convict you and then turn you again. But I think, you know, having been with Christ, now I have a choice to go towards Him, whereas before it's a little different spiritually.
Thank you, Chan. Again, hits the point. Yeah. See, look a good look of the diagram again. Okay. God is on top, and Satan is on the bottom. And there's in you, there's a spirit that connects to God, and there's a flesh that connects to Satan. What's in between of the spirit and the flesh?
Well,
so that's the whole point. You do have a choice. Your will can make a decision that you will follow God or follow Satan. You do, okay? Even if you are still worldly, God give you your will, and you are able to make a decision. Okay? So you decide who will control your mind. You are aware that there's a battle, and you make a daily decision, who's going to control my mind today? And not all Christians allow God to control their minds. God may have input. God may have input, but not have control. You decide who's going to control your mind. That's a daily decision. Why is the Bible important in renewing your mind? You are in the process of having a daily quiet time for 21 days. Why is it important to read the Bible? Why the Bible is important in renewing your mind? Yeah. Anyone like to share?
I'll share if no one else will. I feel like I talk. I think it's exciting stuff.
So the Bible is the way God talked to you. The way you get to know God, to be able to think like Christ, you have to be close to Him, talk to Him, think like Him, draw to Him, so it has become very intimate. So the way you talk, the way you think is converged with Christ. So that way your mind is renewed from worldly to Christ-like.
Thank you, Lucy. Yeah. So the Bible is important because the Word of God, you read your Bible, listen to people preach from the Bible. That's the time when you open yourself up to God's Word, so God can have input in your life. Okay, I think we learned this last week. It's important you have motivation. You are self-motivated to read God's Word. Okay. We learned about conversational prayer last week too. Anyone can tell me, do you have this experience? Do you know what's conversation, no prayer, before you are in a Master Life group? Oh, Alex, know about it. You share a little bit of your experience?
When I was in college or Christian fellowship, I often used this, actually 99% I would use this format during prayer meetings and whenever we pray as a group, and where we would try to, they didn't call it conversation, I think they call it popcorn prayer, right? Because specific of those or goals or any orders, anybody wanted to pray something, they would say it, and we wouldn't say amen until,
yeah,
intuitively as a whole, we knew that was the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
So it was called popcorn prayer, and people prayed what was on their heart. And usually, the pattern was somebody, pray something, and that stirs another person to think of something similar along that same topic. And so, as a group, we stayed on that topic for a few minutes before moving on to the next topic.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. No matter you call it a conversational prayer or popcorn prayer, we're talking about the same thing, and we will practice this kind of prayer. It's a very, very good way of pray to God, because in doing so, the whole group act as one person. It's just like one person engaging God in a conversation. But I say a few words, he say a few words. We just continue as a group talking to God. The whole group act as one person engaging God in a conversation. That's number one. Number two, pray about one subject at a time. You don't pray about A, B, C, D, and E. At one time, you only pray about A. So you say a few words about A, and she says a few words about A, until it naturally comes to an end. Nobody mention it again, then someone move to the next subject. Alright, so one subject at a time. Is that clear? It's very easy to remember, right? Pray brief prayers. The book says one or two sentences by each person on one subject is usually sufficient. Okay? You don't have to say a lot. Sometimes people tend to pray long prayers. One person pray for 5 minutes, or sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes. If you pray 15 minutes all by yourself in a church prayer meeting, what do you do? What are you doing? You're killing the prayer meeting. You occupy all the time and put people into sleep. Pray brief prayers, one or two sentences by each person at one subject. For sure, no longer than 1 or 2 minutes. Sometimes you are inspired by the Spirit, you want to say more than 1 or 2 sentences, but usually it's a short prayer, maybe 1 or 2 minutes, the longest, and then the people around you, the other popcorn will provide his or her prayer. Speak no more. Yeah. It's a conversational prayer, so it's just like you're talking to someone. Just use your usual tone, usual word, just speaking to God instead of speaking to a person. In the book, it suggests some group actually put an empty chair among them, which give them a visual reminder that God is with them. But you just speak no more, like you talk to your mom or your dad. Okay. And use first-person singular pronoun. God, I praise you. God, I confess my sins. God, I request the following request. Don't use God, we praise you. No. God, we praise our sins. No. You use first-person singular pronoun, talking about yourself, I, me, myself. Okay. And be specific in request and confession of sins. God, we pray that 5 person will be saved during this summer evangelism project in our group. You pray something specific, not just in general terms. And if you do a confession in this kind of prayer, you make specific confessions. God, I was wrong in offending this people, this person, by saying and doing this to him or her. Please forgive me. Give me the courage to confess my sins before her. So be specific. Number seven, continue the conversation as long as the group desires. So it will come to a natural end. Then someone will move to the next subject. That's conversational prayer. So during your Master Life discipleship prayer, discipleship process, try this kind of prayer. Okay. Actually, you'll do this today in your own group. Okay, let's move on. How to listen to God's word, okay? That's important. Turn to page 59 in your book. In week 3, we'll learn how to listen to God's word. Okay. At the bottom of page 59 and going on to page 60 and 61, there's a paragraph telling us how to listen to God's word. It tells us first to do an evaluation. Evaluate what kind of hearer are you. This is based on a parable Jesus told his disciples. In Matthew 13, verse 3 through 23, Jesus told a parable of a sower. And there are four kinds of hearer and four kinds of results. The first is a pathetic hearer. He or she just doesn't care. And the word he or she hear was taken away. The other kind of hearer is a superficial hearer. It's like a seed fall on the shallow field. It sprouts very quickly, but withered too very quickly. Someone said, oh, wonderful gospel, I like to be a Christian, but then there's a test, there's a challenge, there's some kind of failure. And say, oh, God is not real, God does not love me, and he or she will forsake God. That's a superficial hearer. Most Christians fall into the number three category, the preoccupied hearer. He's preoccupied with worldly things. Oh, I'll come worship God when I have time. I'll do His will after I finish this project, etc., etc. And the number four is the reproducing hearer. He or she can reproduce 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. So, first, the book asks us to do an evaluation on ourselves. So what kind of hearer are you? One, two, three, four. And honestly, tell God what kind of hearer are you. After that, we will do some evaluation. This is based on James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. I will not read through the whole passage, but I think there are some very familiar verses, like everyone should be quick to listen, quiet to think, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's verse 19. Quick to listen. And what does it mean by saying quick to listen? What does it mean? If you are quick to listen, what are you doing?
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Be on the alert. Pay attention. Be on the alert what God is saying to you. That's quick to listen. I'll jump to verse 25. Okay. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Look intently. Listen. Pay attention into the perfect law, God's word, and continues in it. Not just like someone looking in the mirror, walk away and forgot what he has just seen. So it's not just hearing of the word, but the doing of the word. Okay. All right, so first one is to be to do an evaluation on yourself, know how you are right now. Second, be alert for a word from God. Be quick to hear. So when you listen to a sermon or read your passage, be quick to hear. God is speaking to you. Number three, clear away all sin and pride so that the word can be planted in your heart. If you have a sinful thought, or if you are proud, you cannot hear from God. The word will just pass you, and it will be planted. It will not be planted in your heart. So while we are listening to God, you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, and we make a confession before God. God, forgive me about my sins. May the blood of Jesus cover me again. Make me alert to your word. Make me humble. No matter who's preaching, I'll pay attention to. Okay. Number four, pay attention to what the Bible says about you. Okay, not the whole group, just you personally. Just as you would to your reflection in a mirror. When you look at the mirror this morning, you're looking intently. Am I looking okay? Is my hair fine? Is my dress clean, etc.? You don't just take a casual look, you look intently. Do the same thing when you hear the word from God or read your Bible. Pay attention, look intently. And take notes on your student book on page 141. Okay, turn to 141. Page 141, there's a page, hearing the words. There's a sermon listening sheet, how to hear the word. I think in our church, both English congregation and Chinese congregation, we all have a sermon insert. You need to develop this habit. When the speaker says, turn to Bible, this page and this page, you actually turn your Bible. By the way, if you are Christian, it's your duty, your responsibility to bring your own Bible. Our church doesn't provide a Bible for Christians, only for the non-believers, for the guests. If you are a Christian, you need to bring your own Bible to the church. And when the pastor, the speaker say, we are looking at this passage, you turn your Bible to that passage. And you take notes. What he's saying about, what he's talking about, take notes. We'll learn more about this as the classes go on. Okay. All right, salvation testimony. A lot of things I need to cover today, but how many kinds of testimonies do Christians usually have? We do have different kinds of testimonies. They usually can be divided into two kinds of testimony. Can someone suggest what two kinds? What kind of testimony? Give thanks. Of thanksgiving testimony. Salvation. Okay. There are really only two kinds of testimony for a Christian. Okay. The first is the salvation testimony. And the second is life experience testimony. Giving thanks falls into the second category, life experience testimony. But the first one is the salvation testimony. How I was saved. And that's the testimony we are talking about today. And that's what you need to learn, how to give your own salvation testimony in about 3 to 4 minutes. You think over, write down, and practice it. Okay. How you were saved. This is what we were learned in book 2. Okay, in your book, page 69, there's a salvation testimony outline using a Paul's experience. The book says everyone's salvation testimony can divide into four parts. The first part is your life and attitudes before you follow Christ. When you were a non-believer, what's your attitude and what is your life situation? In Paul's example, he had not always followed Christ. He was a persecutor of Christ's church, actually. Second part is how I realized that God was speaking to me. When do I sense that God began to deal with me, to talking to me? Number three, how I became a Christian. This is the most important part. How do you become a Christian? Why you made a decision? People love to hear that. The turning point. Number four, what being a Christian means to me. After you become a Christian, what happened? So each salvation testimony can be divided into four parts. I think starting from this week, you need to write your own testimony and try to present it in 3 to 4 minutes. Okay, we'll practice that at the end of book two. Actually, we're going to have a workshop for that. All right, that's next week's assignment. Please turn to page 47. Page 47, week 3, master your emotions. This week's goal, you will be able to use an action. Okay, what's an action? The book will explain that to you. Plan to master your emotions. My walk with the master this week. So we will do all the following assignment. Under spend time with the master. The first is to have a quiet time each day, working towards the goal of having quiet time for 21 days. The next item, still under spending time with the master, during 1 day's quiet time, hold for 5 minutes the nail your leader gave you in your group session. So in 1 day's quiet time, you will hold a nail for 5 minutes your leader gave you. So I'm going to give you a nail. I bring nails. Each person get one. If you are a couple, one couple just get one nail. I don't have enough nails. I need to save some for the afternoon class. So pass this around, don't hurt yourself, okay? Each one bring home a nail, okay? You are required to hold the nail for 5 minutes. Count your time to make sure you hold it for 5 minutes. And make sure don't hurt yourself, okay? Yeah, don't hurt your spouse with it. So let's pass around the nail and make sure you complete all your assignment for the week, okay? Let me explain a little bit of today's small group time. First, you will check each other's mind walk with the master this week. Okay, you will pair up and check the homework. Number two, quote memory verses from Romans 12, 1 through 2 and Philippians 2, 13 to each other. Okay. Number three, practice explaining the disciples' personality to each other according to what you've learned so far. Number four, sharing. Okay. In last week's homework assignment, you were required to go out with your spouse or with a close friend, and you will share that experience with your group members. And some volunteers, one or two volunteers in the group, will share what areas of growth they saw in their relationships. Okay? This you will do in your own group. Number five, sharing. In last week's assignment, the book asked us to make some commitment to God about how to get God's word into my life. So you will share about that commitment with your group members. Then finally, the whole group will do a conversational prayer to end the session. Okay? All right, that's it. Give me back the nails, your group. Break into the groups. Thank you.